mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this, the 23rd Sunday after Trinity. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The gospel we heard this morning recounts an incident in the last week of our Lord's earthly life, the holy week of his passion. And to understand the question and the answer that Jesus gives, we need to consider something of that context, the circumstances. Our Lord had entered the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He was greeted by the people carrying palms and olive branches and spreading their garments before him. And the people were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." By this acclamation, the people were expressing their belief that this Jesus who now enters the holy city is the long-promised Messiah. And with that, the Jerusalem authorities become more concerned than ever. As you remember, Palestine was in those days an occupied country, occupied by the Roman authorities. And the Jewish leaders had developed a rather cozy relationship with these Roman authorities. But when they see Jesus coming as the Messiah, they fear that this whole cozy relationship could very well be brought to a swift and terrible end. And so they more than ever wish to rid themselves of Jesus. And so they come to him with this question: is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? In doing this, they were trying to put Jesus in a no-win situation. If Jesus had simply answered them, "Yes, it's fine to do that," then his claim to be the Messiah would, in a very real sense, be discredited in their eyes. If, on the other hand, they had said, "No, it is not lawful to pay tribute to Caesar," then, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, the Herodians, the adherents of King Herod, they could immediately go to the authorities and denounce Jesus as one who was trying to undermine the authority of the occupying Roman government and of its emperor. So they put this question to him, trying to trap him. Jesus asked them to bring him a coin, a denarius, which is about a day's wages for a common laborer in those days. And they show Jesus the coin, and he asked them, "Whose image and superscription is here?" And of course, the only thing they could answer was Caesar's. And then Jesus says to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now at this point, we need to think for a moment about the concept of image. Whose image and superscription is this? On the coin, there is the image of the Roman emperor. But as the believing Jews that these people were, they also could remember that in the Old Testament scriptures, the holy writer says that God made man, he made human beings, male and female, in his image. So just as the coin bears the image of the emperor, and so is paid to him, so each and every person bears the image of God and therefore belongs to him, just as the coin belongs to the emperor. The image of God in us is to be like him. And when God first created man, human beings bore that image in its perfection. But in their rebellion against God, our first parents damaged that image, indeed destroyed it. And so the image of God can only be restored if God himself intervenes and restores it to us. This God did by himself becoming man, by living according to the perfect image of God, in perfect love and holiness, and then dying on the cross to atone for all our sins in which we damage the image of God which he has given us. So in Jesus' answer to those who came to trick him, Jesus is telling them that what God wants is their hearts. He wants them to reflect in their lives the image of God in which he made them. As you and I reflect on our lives, we know full well how short we come of the image of God. God is perfect love, and you and I are, of course, very far from that. And so we come to God in penitence, as we do every Sunday, confessing all the sins which trouble us, the sins of this week and the sins of long ago that still torment us. As the psalmist prays, "Remember not, O Lord, the sins of my youth, nor my many transgressions, but according to thy mercy remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And God speaks his word of forgiveness to us, and then feeds us with the body Christ gave into death for our sins, and the blood he poured out to wash us clean. Here at the altar, we come into the presence of our Savior, who is truly here for us. And because he is here, we also know that the holy angels are here. And so we join in the ancient prayer of the liturgy, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Every Holy Communion is a foretaste of heaven. Every Holy Communion reminds us that our real citizenship, the one that truly matters most, is not any citizenship we bear in this world, good and fine as that is, but it is the citizenship of the heavenly fatherland. And so here in this church, week by week, we join in the worship of heaven because we are citizens of heaven above. As St. Paul says in the epistle for this day, our citizenship is in heaven, And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In the meantime, we are obedient citizens of this world while looking forward to that final place at the heavenly table where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of God's pleasure forevermore. God grant it to each one of us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.